Merkle Media.
Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbirds with your hosts Sean Chris and Joel Thomas coming out from underneath the earth. What the? Is that a skull in his hand?
It's a skull. It's a reptilian skull, baby. I was just down in one of their facilities and just blew them up. Brat, brat, brat.
Damn, man. This is going to go. What is good, y'all, man? You know, hope everybody had a happy new year. Enjoyed your Christmas time with your family. Now it's back to that new year, new grind. And exposing these fucking idiots that are trying to control our lives. We don't care because we just make fun of them because they want us to eat bugs and they think that we'll eat bugs. I'm not eating a bug, man. I'm just good. I mean, not that they're the horrible. Obviously, if I have a choice between the bug and the fake meat, I'm going to win the bug, man. That's for sure.
Nah, man. I'm cooking up bug sandwiches, bro. You know me. I eat bugs all day. So I ain't no problem with it, man. Hey, when it gets crazy and everybody's running and hiding in the woods, man, I'm going to be the one they're going to come to because I got that trade, baby. I'm cooking them up. I got them. I got the bug burgers. I got cricket sandwiches.
Joel Curry.
Yeah, baby. And it's going to be great. When people are hungry, man, they're going to need to eat something, man, unless you want to eat that fake meat. Come holler at me.
Let's do a little housekeeping, though, before, you know, if you guys want, you get to go hop on a Kill the Mockingbirds podcast on Instagram. Become a subscriber for $4.99 a month and get exclusive content. Exclusive content like reels, books, group chats. We're also doing every Tuesday and every Thursday a live on Instagram, Kill the Mockingbirds podcast. You know, where we break down some of the reels that Joel's been doing or break down a few podcasts. Have a couple special guests every now and then. 8:30 Eastern every Tuesday and Thursday. And Patreon is up. About to be loaded up. We're getting that ready to go too. Big things, man. Big things.
Yeah. Hit up the Patreon. It's going to be fire. We're going to have new episodes every month. You'll get early episodes from this podcast. So you'll be able to listen to stuff earlier there. Plus, there'll be Patreon only episodes. We also have two new podcasts that are dropping this month as well. We won't tell you yet what they are, but they're going to be fire, and we're doing them both with two other podcasts. So we collectively came together with two other podcasts and created two new podcasts. You will be able to get to them early on Patreon, but we will have them up here too, from all your favorite Kill the Mockingbirds places, Spotify, Apple, Podcast 2.0, wherever you get your podcasts, you will be able to hear them there as well.
And you know, if you want to support the show, you could either support the show by listening to Joel Thomas or Sean Chris on all music platforms, or you go to write that link right below in the show notes, KTMB donations, man. Just, you know, streamline that shit, you know what I mean? Help out the show any way you possible. But besides that, I think that's enough about the little housekeeping. Let's get into some real rawness.
I see the need for a great reset. I see the need for a great reset.
The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the state of the world.
Oh, the supervillain, our favorite, man. One of the favorites of the show, Mr. Klaus Schwab. I want to welcome you in, baby. We got Klaus Schwab, special guest in the building. How are you going? How's it going, Klaus?
Great. I love it. I love it when people are doing what I tell them to do. I love putting my feet up on their backs like an ottoman, and I just feel so good when I look at the little peons who are nothing to me but worker bees.
Oh man, you're such a sweetheart, Klaus. Now, I know a lot of people have broke down the World Economic Forum. It's obviously been a hot topic for a while that people know about, especially in this realm that they know. But there's stuff going on with them that I don't think everybody is super well versed on, that there's so many layers to it. It's not just, hey, he wrote a great reset book and you'll own nothing, you'll be happy. That's not just like a, you know, an article. It's actually a whole mindset that they're giving to multiple people. And we're going to break down a couple like little, we have some clips from a couple other, I forgot the dude's name, but we have some things to break down, and I think that it will go good. How you want to set this one up right here? Got I hate when I forget people's names.
Are you talking about Alex Newman?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. See, he got it.
Man. So you mean
that's why there's two of us, man. See, that's why there's two. If there's only one, then we're never gonna know the name.
No, like Alex Newman, he used to work for ABC. He's been all over the place though, man. Gainesville Sun, Diplomat Magazine. He actually worked for Fox for a little while. But he's super against the mainstream establishment. He actually left the mainstream establishment because he found out that he couldn't do legit reporting. So that's one of the things he does. He's got a new book called Deep State that he put out. And he actually goes to the WEF and a lot of these events to expose them. And a lot of times these guys will talk to him without knowing that he's, you know, exposing them, because he knows how to maneuver, right? He's been in that world for a long time, and he's able to get in there and ask the hard questions and do it in a very slick way to where, you know, a lot of times they're just giving up free information about what they're about to do to us.
Yeah, because they feel like they're the, you know, that's their group. He thinks that they're talking to, you know, friends. They don't realize that he's like a real journalist. They think they're the inside fake news.
Well, and one of his big things that he likes to expose too, man, is the fact that at these big events, and a lot of times they're not publicized over here in the States, because a lot of the mainstream hitters over here, like CNN, Fox News, all of them, they don't go to these events. There's a reason for that. But all the other media companies in the world go to these events. And there's a reason for that, because the U.S., as brainwashed as we can be at times, are still alert to anything that would stop our freedoms, right? So if we're reporting for sure on what they're saying over there in these events, people are going to start raising their eyebrows up and start thinking like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. So the best thing to do is just not report it at all. It's just like a black hole. Just act like it doesn't exist. Just act like that Joe Biden, just act like that a lot of our leaders from the R&Ds are over there doing this. And it's pretty crazy, but he's over there exposing it. And I think we should start playing some clips from him, and we'll start expounding on what he's seeing over there, and these Ten Commandments, man, these new Ten Commandments. So let's go ahead and get into this.
Yeah, this is him a little bit talking about COP27, which is the United Nations Climate Change. So here's clip one.
So, you know, a lot of things happened there. The big political agreement that they came to was a wealth redistribution mechanism, where basically Western peoples, especially the United States, are going to have to pay climate reparations in perpetuity to third world kleptocrats and the United Nations. And they haven't decided on a figure yet. They hope it's going to be operational by next year, but they're already talking about trillions of dollars. But even more important than that, Greg, you mentioned the new Ten Commandments. For me, it was the biggest story out of this thing, and I've got a cover story coming out about it in the New American Magazine. Did some very, very in-depth research. We've been sounding the alarm about this for decades. They are now building the third leg of the stool. Now, Peter Drucker, you know, management guru, big-time establishment insider, he argued that to bring about profound changes in the world, you needed a three-legged stool. One leg is the public sector, governments, and so all the governments of the world have come together through these UN climate summits. They came together to agree to Agenda 2030, the Sustainable Development Goals. You've got the private sector. Now, World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, must eat the bugs and great reset, man. He actually signed a strategic partnership with the UN to implement Agenda 2030 and to bring the business community to the table. So you've got the public sector, the private sector, and then the third leg of the stool that Peter Drucker described is the social sector, in particular the religious sector, the religious movements and leaders of the world. And so that was really the focus. There was more than 40 religious and religion-oriented events there. They ushered in what they originally called the New Ten Commandments. I actually was able to interview the ringleaders of this for about 40 minutes at the UN summit. They walked up to Mount Sinai. They came out with these new Ten Commandments. They smashed them because I guess they weren't pleased with the progress. And all the while, the UN was openly talking about ushering in a new system of ethics and a new system of morality.
So that's, first, we got to give them props because that was a pretty good Klaus Schwab impression. I kind of liked it. I was like, man, that's really fresh, man. And I was like, all right, man, I'm going to have to work on mine a little bit better. That's a pretty good one, man. You could tell he's been around them, you know?
Yeah, he's probably heard him. He's definitely heard him speak in person, man. He's probably been practicing a little bit for sure. But there's a lot packed into what he said right there, Sean. And honestly, you know, a lot of people don't know about these new Ten Commandments. So I'm going to go ahead and give everybody that's listening right now the new Ten Commandments so we can understand what they're how they're trying to connect religion, specifically Christianity, into climate change and into this new world religion that they want to create. So we're going to start with the first one. We are stewards of this world. Number two, creation manifests divinity. Three, everything in life is interconnected. Four, do no harm. Five, look after tomorrow. Six, rise above ego for our world. Seven, change our inner climate. Eight, repent and return. Nine, every action matters. And 10, use mind, open heart. Now, on the surface, some of these sound pretty all right, right? Outside of the fact that they're not the actual Ten Commandments that were given to Moses.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
I mean, I didn't know we could just make our own up. I mean, like, if that's the case, I could just make some up myself, right?
Well, and that's the thing, man. These were actually created by a rabbi, Jonathan Neural. And matter of fact, Alex Newman does talk about Neural a good bit in that entire interview that, you know, we took some clips from. But yeah, they want to implement this religious climate ideology. And if you notice throughout those Ten Commandments, man, it was all about this weird change our inner climate and creation manifests divinity. It's almost like, again, we're back to that transhumanism. We can become gods. We're more powerful than our creator. It's all about, Mother Earth, Gaia, and how we can connect with this inner divinity, inner power that we have. It's really crazy, man. But these are coming from like rabbis. These are coming from big Christian leaders, and that's really what they're pushing.
Quote unquote religious scholars, right?
Like, absolutely. Quote, like, yeah. I mean, these are scholars, man, that are well known in these communities, and people just don't realize that what they believe in is being attacked. And I don't care what religion that you believe in, but they are rounding them all up. And if you're not down to play ball with them, with the WEF, and help them push their agendas, they're going to wipe you out. And I don't care if you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever, they're coming for all of you. And I know I ran on this show all the time about how they're coming at Christianity harder than the rest of them, which I still believe, but they are coming for all of them. Let's not say that that's not the truth, because they want a one world religion. And the fact that they're creating a Ten Commandments, and it's just blasphemy, Sean. I mean, this whole Mount Sinai thing. So if you know anything about Mount Sinai, this is where Moses was given the first Ten Commandments by God, when God etched them in the tablets on Mount Sinai, and he came down. And when he got pissed off at the Israelites, because while he was gone for a long time, they actually built idols that they were worshiping. So when he came down, he actually broke the first set. Then went back up, and God gave him a new set, and he came down with the Ten Commandments again. But it's blasphemy what they did. They brought these Ten Commandments out. They angrily, with the activists, broke them on Mount Sinai. And then they basically said, these aren't good enough. We have to create something better. So it's like, what are you going to create better out of these new Ten Commandments? It's wild, man. It's mind blowing. Just digging down that rabbit hole that people again don't even know this stuff's going on.
Yeah, the only time that I remember that I thought they changed the Ten Commandments was
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the Ten Crack Commandments.
That's the only one I knew of. I didn't know that there was another. But I'm with you, man. I think it's like spitting in the face of God, right? Like, we're getting these Ten Commandments straight from God. And then you're like, well, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like you said, they're trying to be the creators. They're trying to be like, it's almost like climbing up the, you know, the whole the Babylon thing, right? Like the Tower of Babel, like going all the way up to there and trying to be God and being this creator. And that's what I think the whole transhumanism movement is about. Like, and it's about them controlling us, and they're the beings. They're the special, whether they're lizard people, whether they're just bloodlines, whatever that may be, it seems like they're trying to change our perspective and our narrative. And before we get into more of Alex Newman, that's what Klaus Sweat said at the COP27.
Met Gagabi, Minister for Coordinating Government Affairs of the United Arab Emirates. Excellencies, dear participants, what pleasure to be together again and to design the future. We are here to develop the great narrative.
The great narrative. And he goes on in that speech where he's talking how it's important to for the future to create a narrative, a story, to put it all together. And that fits perfectly with what you're saying about these new Ten Commandments, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to change the narrative. Now, obviously, it won't happen overnight. But if you keep doing this and more of us pass away and more of us, the older generations, they lose those older generations, you're not going to have that knowledge anymore.
Right.
That knowledge is gone, and they get to give you the knowledge that they go, no, these were always the Ten Commandments. And they always use something that is familiar with people, and that's familiar with a lot of people. So they're like, hey, you know, Ten Commandments. And then at one point, people are going to think those were the original Ten Commandments, is the ones that they developed.
Right, man. And again, it's just, again, confirms how I feel about how hard they go against Christianity. It just seems like it's a very coordinated effort to single out that, because they take so much from it to twist it. And you don't see that a lot with the other religions. Now, they want to suppress the other religions for sure. I think that's important. And maybe, you know, and to play devil's advocate on myself a little bit, maybe it has to do with 2.3 billion people believe in Christianity, and it's the biggest religion in the world.
I also think that it's universal. You know what I mean? I started thinking about it a lot too, that it's so universal in so many different countries. I think it's almost like the one you got to tap into.
You have to,
right? Like,
yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, you know, not saying that other religions don't have this either, but I'm saying there's a lot of historical value as well with the Christianity, like that I think they can use, so they can use some of the truth and mix it with the lies, which makes it a lot easier. And again, like you said, there's a lot of Christians out there in the world. Like, it's not, I don't know if it's the most religious, but I know it's the most universal, spread out of multiple countries. You know, a lot of, like, Muslims kind of stay in their little area. You know what I mean? There's Muslims all over the world, but I'm saying they're predominantly in one area. There's a big predominance of Christianity all over.
2.3 billion, Sean, people are Christians. The next,
what's that, like a third at least, of the third of the world?
The next closest is Islam at 1 billion. So we're talking about like double is what Christianity is. Now, again, Christianity encompasses so much because, you know, and that's where my biggest pushback is with, like, you know, what's real Christianity, right? You know, are we just talking about these churches and these ideologies? I think that's what people are going to encompass it in, that 2.3 billion. Now, who's actually trying to live Christ-like and bring people to a greater understanding of what that means? I don't think there's a lot, Sean, and I can be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's been infiltrated. And as we dig deeper into this podcast, you know, because again, we're here to tear these idols down, and I'm here to tear down the church. And as much as I preach the love of Christ and how I feel about Christ, dude, I'm here to tear these these guys down that are literally using his name to lead people astray. And it's mind blowing to me that people are falling for it when literally the text that you're reading is telling you the opposite of what this guy's telling you, this false prophet's telling you. But yeah, man, it's very unnerving watching how it's happening and how the WEF's really digging deep when it comes to, like Alex Newman said, the third leg, man, this third piece that they need for ultimate control, and that is religion.
Yeah, because it's something that everybody's kind of tapped into in some sense. I was thinking about what you were saying, and it kind of reminded me of what just happened the other night with that DeMar Hamlin, right? Mm-hmm. How he just passed out on the field. I mean, we could speculate all what happened, but a lot of people, and I was talking about this with people, like they were like, oh, pray for him. But how many of them were actually praying? You know what I mean? Like, are they just saying, a lot of people have come to this like sense of where they're like, hey, pray for DeMar Hamlin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, do it. You don't have to tell me, just do it. Right.
Right.
And then I started thinking like you get a lot of these, hey, pray for blah, 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 fill in the blank. But is anybody actually praying? And then it started making me think, is this part of the occultic ritual of where they're getting people to put that energy out there? And they're not necessarily, because since they're not really praying to God, you know what I mean? They're just saying that they're praying and they're kind of in a unison, mm-hmm. that they are now bringing on whatever the occult is triggering from that. And they're using that. And that's how a way maybe they harness our energy in that with through social media, because it becomes that trend. Like you see it, like, you know, everybody's starts doing that Mockingbird stuff. We're just seeing the same stuff. Like right away, everybody was like going, maybe it was a vax. And then it was like this cardio, whatever. Like, but everybody said word for word what it was, right? All these, I know I'm a doctor. I'm a cardiologist. I'm blah, 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 blah. And then if they really were, you'd be like, well, I mean, not that they're not, but isn't ethics like, hey, I can't diagnose anybody that I'm not actually standing in front of. You're not supposed to diagnose from your TV screen. So that's like what kind of brought me to, it's a little bit out there from what you're saying, but it reminded me of like how so many people say with religion and prayer and how important it is. But I think people just use it as a cloak and use it as like almost like an accessory, right?
Right.
It look to look cool socially, and they say, I'm gonna pray for them. And I think that's how the occult uses a lot of it, really, because you're not really praying for them. If you are, you're not saying it. I'm not saying you can't say it, but you know what I mean?
Like, right.
For the most part, you should just be really praying. And if you're not, then that's kind of part of the problem.
Yeah, before I get on that ritual piece, because I do agree with you that, you're talking about commodio cordis is what they're calling it. It's a blunt force to the chest and a precise moment in the heart's electrical cycle that can cause the heart to stop. So they're basically saying he got hit so hard in the chest that it caused his heart to stop. When, look, man. I get that it's a thing and it's real, but honestly, if that was so common in the NFL, like it would have happened a lot, and it hasn't, man. And the fact that he didn't get hit that hard, that's a routine hit. It wasn't a crazy hit. I watched it, and I watched him get up,
me too.
Like he was fine, and then he dropped. So there's something else going on there, and we can speculate about that. Well, you and I have our ideas about what that could be. But, and I'm not saying that it is the jab, but it's a good possibility, because a lot of people are just dropping like crazy for no reason. So, and it's all heart-related issues, which is really...
And it's a 24-year-old, a healthy 24-year-old in the NFL, best shape. Not doing drugs, like, so, like, that eliminates a lot of things that can happen. And immediately, I knew it was a heart attack.
Right.
Immediately, when they're doing CPR and the defibrillator came out, and we're seeing all these soccer players, and this also gets in with the WT and the stuff we've been talking about, like, with the Robert Malone and how DARPA funded Moderna. There is a lot of nefariousness behind this. The only other time an NFL player has actually died was, like, in the 70s or 71. The only time someone died on the field, and it was on the Detroit Lions. He was a wide receiver. And he had a similar thing. So I think they're using that one and saying, oh, it's the same thing, because then it's easy to cover. And I thought also, too, that what's his name? Stu Pete or Pete Stu or whatever. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
I don't know.
I really think that guy is another character that's no good, because his movie Sudden Death. How come now that they put that out there, it's actually washed out anybody that's putting Sudden Death of, like, you know, now when you Google it, you just see that. So that's another nefarious thing that I think they're bringing on. And I think all this will tie together eventually, because I think there's a lot of questions to be asked. I just want to bring that up real quick, because I was seeing so many people on Twitter arguing about it. And I'm with you. Like, yeah, there's a possibility of anything. But come on, man. We can't ask questions. We're asking questions for a reason. And if they weren't such, like, I hate when it's like with 9/11, you know, when we're like, hey, man, you think that we let them do that? And they're like, it's too soon. Don't ask questions. And you're like, but we should know, like, if our government did that to us. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't want to not ask questions. That's why I think people like Alex are important, because he's out there going and doing the work and trying to find people and kind of like, you know, almost on some secret agent shit, right? Like, they're like, oh man, he's fake news like us. So they're just talking away, probably like, ah, oh, he knows the plan already. Let me just mouth off to him. You know what I mean? Here's another little clip where he kind of breaks down a little bit more what's going on over there.
This was the most significant thing going on in the world until the G20 started. Again, you had world leaders from all over the planet, hugely significant decisions. Exactly what you said, Greg. We're talking really about wealth redistribution. We're talking about stealing money from middle-class Americans, from poor Americans, and then redistributing that to the very wealthy uber elites and kleptocrats who've kept the third world impoverished. And it was so naked and so transparent, Greg. And I want to add this too. You know, communist China is the key to understanding this whole thing, right? And I've been going to these climate summits since 2009, fresh out of journalism school. I went to the COP15 in Copenhagen. And, you know, communist China shows up, they do a side event, and they're talking about how much less CO2 there is in the atmosphere because of their one-child policy, right? Totally barbaric, totally grotesque, right? They forced abortions and all the rest of it. So in Paris, at the UN Paris conference, where they came up with the Paris Agreement, it was a dead giveaway, right? Obama came and he said, we're going to slash American CO2 emissions by 30%. And by the way, this is an executive agreement. It doesn't need to be ratified by the Senate, but we're going to shackle power plants. We're going to shut down energy production. We're going to stop exploration for oil. And as he correctly and honestly said on a television interview, under my plan, energy prices will necessarily skyrocket. He was telling the truth for once. And so America, or the Barack Obama administration, comes to the table and promises basically to destroy the American economy under the guise of saving us from global warming. Well, the mass murdering dictatorship in China comes to the table and they say, oh, that's wonderful. We will continue increasing our CO2 emissions until at least the year 2030. Then maybe we'll think about peaking. And by the way, we're going to keep building coal-fired power plants. We're going to keep producing cheap and reliable energy. So as American factories are fleeing because they can't afford energy, they can't afford to keep up with these regulations, they can't do business in this outrageous regulatory environment, they're all moving over to China, right? Well, every unit of economic production in China produces vastly more CO2 than that same economic unit of production in the United States would. So if you truly believe that CO2 is pollution, that CO2 is causing man-made global warming, the last thing in the world you would want to do, Greg, is shift American production, European production, over to communist China, where, I mean, communist China already puts out about 300% the amount of CO2 into the atmosphere that the United States puts out.
I agree with a lot of what he said, and it is true, but I do also think that, like, China is the boogeyman, mm-hmm. right? I think that they're, like, we're all in on it together. I think they're just, hey, let's move everything to China. Let's get these Western worlds. Because China already has a pretty good lockdown. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is people kind of like upset over there right now. There is people that are kind of pro, but they've got a pretty good stranglehold on their population. Now, as far as the Westerners, we don't, right? Like, because we're all over the place. Some are non-binary. Some are puppies. You know what I mean? Some people are cats. And then people are different religions, sectors. So we have all these things that divide us, and they know with bringing in religion, and I think you are right, like the more that I, because, well, we've been talking a little bit about this for a few weeks, and as time goes, I started like, you know what, I don't know if it's persecuted the most, maybe that the word you said was not wrong, but like, maybe if we twist it a little bit, and I think it's just the most easier, because they've already infiltrated a lot of it. And like you said, there's a lot of people at stake right there. So They don't have to do as much, right? You don't have to, if you start from the ground up, it's going to be hard, a new religion. So they're going to take something that's already something. And since it's already, Christianity's already been sectored off so many times, it's kind of also easy to use, right? Yep. There is sectors of Muslims and Jewish people. There's different sectors, but Christianity has a lot of denominations, tons of them. And I think that's where they're going to go attack. I started thinking about it more, that's strategically, right? Because that's where you go and you get these pastors and priests, and where they go, and now they are part of the government, and they're like taking subsidies. They're getting money, like you were saying about, like, what was there, like a tax code or something?
Yeah, man. So what's really crazy, you know, I was talking to my parents, and, you know, people are just joining the show for the first time. You know, my dad's a pastor, he still is, and there is a it's a tax code. It's the 501c3. It was started in 1969, part of the Tax Reform Act. And basically what it does, it allows your funds to be managed by yourself. So you get tax breaks. You're actually tax exempt as a church if you're under this 501c3, right? So it protects you from having to pay the IRS any of your money. But that's where you see a lot of these mega churches and a lot of these, you know, evangelists or major preachers that make a ton of money, right? You know, like your Joel Osteens and some of these guys, Rick Warren, who we're going to delve into a little bit on this show too.
Yeah.
But it protects them. So all the money they make, they keep within the church and they're allowed to manage it themselves. The problem is the more you dig and the more it's been ratified over the years, they've added more verbiage in there that basically says that they can control you and tell you what to do. So say, for instance, you're preaching out against the jab or you won't marry same-sex people or something's against mm-hmm. what you're preaching in the pulpit, they can come in and tell you, no, you're going to do this. You will marry same-sex. You will tell people that they need to take this product that we're telling them to take, or we take your 501c3 away, then you got to pay the government and they'll probably tax you even harder than they would, you know, regularly. So that's where they get you. They get you into this trap where, hey, you get this big exemption. You get to save all this money and it goes into what you want it to. That's not really the case. That just means that they have more control over you and more control of what they want you to say in your particular forum.
Yeah, and then they have complete, just like we were talking earlier about, same thing with the farmers that had the subsidies. Like, you're now in control. Like, the government's like, hey, destroy all those crops or you get no more money. And since they're now stuck on it, they don't really have much of a choice. They're kind of like, they have to destroy the crops because they won't make enough money through without the government, because they don't have those people to sell everything to anymore, especially after the whole COVID and lockdowns, which ruin a lot of their business. So yeah, it puts you handcuffed. Now you're stuck to, hey, I got to take this paycheck, and if I don't do it, then I'm screwed. And you know, a lot of people are going to take that money and just be like, fuck it. Like, well, bro, they're just going to say, okay, it is what it
most
is.
A lot of these guys in these pulpits, man, don't care about God at all. They don't really care about, they care about their paychecks. And even if they do on the surface, in some ways care, ultimately, they're going to be looking at their pocketbooks and their personal family and what they can do to protect that. I'll tell you a really good show that is funny, but really breaks down a lot of this is The Righteous Gemstones, which I actually just started.
Yeah.
And I'm on like season two. And man,
the best.
Well, it is. And it really breaks down like that ideology, especially mm-hmm. when they start. Because when that season, the new season started, it was like about COVID. So they actually were tapped into that a little bit about how that they were making money off the streaming services, because these are for people that didn't want to come in the church because they were scared to get something. Yep. You got to think about all these avenues that churches look to make money, like stream, like you said, streaming services or some sort of, you know, mail in. You get these DVDs or whatever else, but all that money goes to the church and they don't have to tax on that. So the more things that they can implement to make more money, a lot of these mega churches, a lot of these churches are going to do, man. They're going to look out for themselves. And people get so wrapped up in these idols, and we're back to that again, because it happens very, very often in the religious sectors. And I mean all religions, but you got these guys are at the top and they're supposed to be, you know, the gurus, the guys that are going to lead you to God. And generally speaking, man, they're living pretty lavish when you look at it. And it's like, what are they really giving back to the community? Because I feel like if you're giving back to the community the way you're supposed to, I don't know if you're going to be riding around in Mercedes-Benz and living in, like Joel Osteen, $10 million homes. I just don't know how you can justify that. Like, I'm not saying that God can't bless people and they can't make a lot of money. I just feel like that there's a disconnect there when you look at these guys as, and then you look at who they hobnob around with, and then you're like, oh man, they're hanging out with this politician, they're hanging out with this elite, they're going to the World Economic Forum, they're doing all of these things that to me don't represent you trying to bring people to Christ. At least I don't think so.
Well, you should be putting back more than you're receiving as well.
Right.
Like, not saying that anybody shouldn't get anything, but obviously, like, if you're being blessed and you're taking the job of saying, hey, I'm trying to be not the middleman, but kind of like a middleman for God, like where, you know, that people don't understand some stuff. And that's taking advantage of people, if you ask me. You know, I'm not saying there's a lot of good preachers. It's the same, like, to me, preachers and cops are like the same. It's small town, small, that's what you want. You know what I mean? If it's a small town, small little knit community, it's usually good stuff because you could actually talk to the person. If it's any of these mega corporations, that's why I like that Gemstones, Righteous Gemstones, because it breaks it down from a few different aspects. You got the dad who's like kind of like old money, just trying to fill everything, you know, like for his family, which I get it. Like, he's trying to do right by his family, and he does believe in God, but not necessarily puts him first. Obviously, he puts the money and his family first. And then you got the sons, the one that's like, you know, just trying to get the fame of, like, you know, being the, I want to take over the church, I want to make all the money, it's my turn. Then you got the other son who's like, he has his own little complex of, like, where he thinks he's saving, where he wants to be Jesus, kind of.
Right.
Like, that's how I take it, at least, right? Like, he's saving, like, you know, they have the Satanist guy and he's like always saving him. And it's all like, there's so many weird encounters, man. But that's what I thought it was good, because it really shows the true colors. They really nailed it, if you ask me, because that's what I see it with all these. Yeah, it's cool. Like, I'm not saying anybody can't make money, but it's just very weird making a lot of money off of preaching the word of God.
Right.
Right. I understand sustaining yourself. I understand, like, but again, you should be giving out way more than you're getting. If you have a mansion, then you should have like a mansion style, like homeless shelter. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have 20 cars, then you should be giving out 50 cars, like whatever.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have like all that luxury and then be preaching about God when you know that you're just hustling people. And that to me is one of the worst things. And I think that's what turns off a lot of people to religion, including myself, is because over the years you see people that are just hustlers. And now these hustlers are connecting with the World Economic Forum, with COP27, with the UN, with all these initiatives. And that's where they're going to use their influence over people that trust them, right? Oh, man, he's been my preacher since I was a little kid. Like, of course I'm going to listen to him. It's all right that we need to shut down the factory. It's for climate change. God wants it. That's where I think they're going with it. They're going to go with it to where, like, hey, this is what God wants, you know? That's why I say, and I'm going to repeat it a million times, that's why I love the book of Eli. Not because it's saying that, because to me it's saying the Bible is real and it's important, but how easily it could be manipulated by people that are nefarious, right? And they're going to use it on people that don't know about it.
Right.
And it's similar to what they're doing with these new Ten Commandments. They're like, okay, cool. Like, you thought these were bad. And then to break them and make a whole display, like, to basically spit on God and be like, oh, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. We've been in the world and we've studied people through data, and now we know what's the proper thing. And one of the new commandments you said was do no harm. And right away I thought of electric cars and digging for lithium. I'm like, I thought we're doing no harm. There is harm being done. Slave labor, people being oppressed. Like, there's so much wrapped up into that. But again, it's just that false notion of, well, we're here to help you. Like, hey, we're going to fix everything for you. No one's going to fix everything for you. That's never going to happen. But they need religion. Religion's important. And I think that you did, a few weeks ago when we were doing that Adamites one, I think you really did kind of get onto something where we're talking about, not necessarily it's the most persecuted, but it's the one that they want. Christianity is the one they want to use to implement a lot, to really manipulate.
Right.
They want to manipulate Christianity because I think they see not only a lot of people, but they see how many people that are not necessarily even, but they believe in Jesus and they believe in his teachings. Maybe they're not consider themselves religious. So I think they're trying to tap into that and try to use that because I think that's the vessel. Not saying that's the right religion, but I think that's a vessel that they feel like they can hack into because of the multiple denominations of Christianity. I feel like they're going to use that because it's a blueprint to get around the world and get that message out there because people, that's what they believe in, right? You believe in your preacher, your priest, or whoever you go to, there's a lot of people that put a trust into them, and not all of them are good people.
No, man, no. And you know, to your, you know, I agree with you. You know, it's going to be the easiest one to manipulate because they've been manipulating it for so long, right? You know, most people get caught up in the aspect of the church, man. They don't get caught up in the actual teachings of Christ. If you look at most people, man, I don't even think they really know what the teachings of Christ are because they don't really read the Bible themselves. What they do is they listen to someone tell them about what the Bible's telling them. And I'm not saying, you know, my dad's a prime example of a great preacher, man, someone who preaches the word. And I'll say this. The Bible's controversial. Jesus was controversial. So that's what I have an issue with a lot of these mega churches and these guys that are falling in line with the mainstream narratives is they're not controversial. I think that you look at John the Baptist, you look at Peter, Paul, like all of these apostles, man, like they went against the system. Christ went against the system. I remember there was a verse, a patch of verses where Jesus was teaching and they said that Herod was going to come, you know, and see him face to face if he didn't leave the city. And Jesus was like, well, I'm still going to be here so he can come meet me if he wants to. You know what I mean? Like, that was someone standing up against the system. You know what I mean? And you don't see that. So that's going to be my first, you know, ding, ding, ding when I see you not being controversial. And I'm not saying being controversial for the sake of being controversial, but I'm saying if you're actively seeking the truth or preaching the truth, you're going to be controversial because you'll tend to be not caught up in that matrix everybody else is caught up in. And I've seen my dad, especially during 2020, 2021, being on the pulpit, railing against the system, and, you know, half his congregation was pissed off at him, but my dad doesn't care. So, like, to me, it's like those are the guys that I look at when I'm looking at somebody to follow because they're not asking you to follow them. They're asking you to follow Christ, and that's two different things. They're just the messenger. That's all you're supposed to be. When you're in that position, you're the messenger. You're giving what you believe God told you to give to someone else, man, but you're not telling someone what to do. You're more than welcome to do whatever you want to. This is what I was told to tell you. That's controversy. That's the right kind of controversy. And in all aspects of life, that's what we need more of. But back to the church, that's when I know, when I start seeing people that are propping up these guys, these Klaus Schwabs, these elites, when I see them do that and then hobnobbing with them, I just can't buy into it, man, because you're bought and paid for.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you could see people like your pops and stuff, like they're distributing everything. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, let's rally some money so we could build this and do this for such and such and such. That's the difference, right? Like, to me, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to keep building in your community or whatever community you're at, you know, to make it better, to thrive and not only teach. And that's part of the teachings of Jesus in my building community, helping each other out. And you're right. It's constantly going against the system. Do you think Jesus would be right, like, hey, man, you should be wearing a mask right now, man. You should be jabbed up. No, he'd be like, well, why? Why are we wearing a mask? Why are you, right? You know what I'm saying? He'd be questioning. And if we're questioning, that's what we're supposed to do. But they want it to be this other thing of compliance of where they'd be like, oh, no, Jesus, remember that guy, that bishop guy was like, oh, Jesus, just get like 10 vaccines. You're like,
yo, if Jesus was around right now, bro, he'd be like that time when he ran up in the temple with that whip and just started whipping everybody that was like selling like all of these items in his name, bro. Like, that's exactly what would happen if he saw this going down now. He'd be like, what? He'd be like tearing down the house, man.
And then they would call him MAGA. They would be like, oh, he's MAGA. Like, you know what MAGA I'm saying? Jesus. Just because he's against her. Yeah, what the hell, man? Like, that's how they would do it, though. You know, they would label it like that. They would label it like domestic terrorist, MAGA domestic terrorist. Like, it's so crazy. That's why I think, like, we would be confused.
Local,
like,
you wouldn't even. Extremist carpenter.
He was a carpenter and then he changed. Like, you know what I mean? He was in January 6th, man. Like, it's sad how they do change. They use like the actual things that people do know, like some sense, like people know about Jesus. It's obviously a famous person in the world that they know they can use. And I think that's why that symbolizes so much for them that they're like, oh man, let's run with this. And like you said, it's been infiltrated so many times on so many different fronts. That's why there is so many different denominations and so many different sectors of Christianity, because people broke off because of that thing, because they're like, I don't know, man, this guy seems full of shit. And some broke off because people like power, right? A lot of these evangelists, they think that they're pretending they're healing you, or they're giving. Anybody that's going to say, hey, pay me and I'll give your message to God, you're like, all right, man. You know what I mean? I could just do it myself.
Like, it's been happening, bro, for the since the word Christian like happened. That's what they started doing. I mean, you could even see the early apostles fighting other sprout up churches that started doing that, man. Even in the Bible, yeah. We're talking about as far back as Jesus, man. But I mean, even Jesus was, like I said, he went into the temple where they were selling and merchandise and making money off of his father's name. I mean, this has been happening forever, man. People are going to use religion, and all religions for that matter, to make money. I mean, if they get an opportunity to do it, a lot of these guys are false prophets. They don't even believe in what they're doing. They look at it as a business opportunity. Like, hey, you know what? I'm really good at speaking. I'm a good orator. I'm just going to get up here and spout this out and twist it any way I want to get people to prop me up, make me famous, and, you know, get me money. And when you've got something like 501c3, where you don't have to even pay the IRS anything, and you're bringing in billions of dollars, that's all money going to you, lining your pockets and building whatever you want to build personally.
So of course you're going to tote the line. You're going to go and do exactly, if you're, especially you're in it for power, fame, and money. You don't care what they say. You're like, oh, yeah, whatever, climate change, yeah, COVID, wear a mask. Like, you're going to go with it.
Right.
Like, that Osteen guy showed it, like, when he wouldn't give people refuge after the flood in Texas. Like, that's not something a preacher, especially a man of God, like, what I think of a man of God. And then there's, like, people that are man of God, like, preachers that, like, live in, like, a shack, not like a shack, but, you know, like a modern home, like a small home, and they go and take and help everybody out. So there's these drastic differences. And again, that's like the mainstream and the people that are off the beaten path. Like, they're on the path of God and Christ. And the other ones are just out there literally for fame. That's why I like Righteous Gemstones so much, because it exposed so much about these guys. And it's very true. And that's why we know that they will tote the line 100% when they're asked, hey, this is the new climate thing that we're talking about. This is ESG. This is a, you need to marry, like, you're seeing even the Pope do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that I wouldn't think in my time. He's like, yeah, you know, same sex marriage is pretty good. You know, man? Like, I'm not against it personally. I'm not against it. I don't really don't care. I'm not a big marriage person in myself. Like, cause I feel like if I'm going to get married, why does the state need to tell me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Why do I need a piece of paper from the state? Like, to tell me, hey, we're in love. Like, we're going to be committed forever because the state says, but like, the way that he said it, it's to infiltrate us as a whole, where they want to break it down, where everybody, this all-inclusive, this ESG, because they get ESG scores. Even the churches are going to start getting these ESG scores. How environmentally friendly are you? Are you promoting the LGBTQ community? You know what I mean? So on and so forth. Whatever. That's going to constantly change because the narratives are going to change bit by bit. But when they talk about the great narrative, what they mean is they want to set the story right and perfect so that we can buy it hook, line, and sinker and follow them right down to destruction. That's exactly what they want us to do. Well, let me get into this Lax Alex clip before we go a little further.
Fox News is disgusting. And wait till people like Hannity figure out what? Whoa. I mean, I took two shots in a booster of this stuff and I've been permanently damaged. What? Wait till they figure this out. Because they are going to be damaged. Just all these people got placebos. Oh, it was bad batches. No, they all had different fuses, right? I mean,
he's probably not going to be keeping that little CIA lapel pin on his jacket anymore after he finds out that InQtel was putting money behind Moderna and some of these other pharmaceutical interests that were involved in this weaponized campaign. So
Fox is disgusting. They're going to have a hard fall.
They are. I mean, after the 2020 election, they lost millions of viewers, and most of those people are not going back now. I mean, they still have some of their core loyal constituency, but even they are abandoning ship. So
I won't watch them. I used to watch them pretty regularly. I don't. No, thanks. I think for myself. I don't want to see Laura Ingraham, and I don't even like Tucker Carlson. I mean, his buddy is Hunter Biden. He wrote Hunter Biden a letter. This is one of the laptop things that came out. He wrote him, hey, can you get my kid in, George Washington? And GW, can you pull some swings for me? Hey, let's have dinner with you and your wife and my wife, and we'll get together, right? I mean, that is
not supposed to talk about those things.
I mean, this thing with this Hunter Biden laptop is deep, 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 deep. I mean, they covered up our enemies, basically rigging our elections. And D&I Radcliffe, and I keep bringing up this report. Oh, there's no evidence. Well, on the 18th of January of 2021, D&I Radcliffe released a report that said all 17 intel agencies agree that the Chinese interfere with our election.
I thought that was a good clip because obviously they were Fox guys. Like, it, just to show, like, hey, the veil is really falling down on a lot of people. Now, not saying they got everything right. I liked a lot of what they said, but when they were hammering on Fox, I thought that was important because a lot of people have only been railing on CNN, which rightfully so. I get it. MSNBC, I get it. But Fox is no better, man. They've never been, they've just been the same deceitful people. You see Tucker Carlson, he talks about the jab a little bit. He'll talk a little bit, dance around the World Economic Forum, but he's not talking fully about what's going on at COP27. He still has pharmaceutical ads on his show, so he can only go so far and so deep. He tries to be, you know, this, oh, I'm here for the people, this whole schmuck. And then that's how he laughs. He always laughs like that. And people buy into it, like, because he seems to be the one going against everything. And he steals a lot of material from a lot of people. You could tell, like, a lot of podcasts I listen to, I'm like, man, I heard that 2 weeks ago. He's barely getting onto that. And he taps in. His producers are good at tapping in with the conspiratorial and truther crowd and kind of just, they nudge them a little bit like this, and they give them little breadcrumbs, and they try to lure them in. Like he said perfectly, Hannity, I've always said it too, Hannity has that CIA lapel right there, and he's and who's helped develop these vaccines? Moderna, boom, DARPA, CIA, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's the thing they're not telling you. They're supposedly, they'll rail on Joe Biden, and they'll rail on the Hunter laptop, and they'll tell you how the borders overflowed, but they won't tell you about how the UN is, you know, helping that out, that the UN is trying to get more immigrants in here. For what reason? We won't know because the journalists aren't going out there and doing their story. They're just saying, oh, look, it's illegal immigrants. They just want to take your job. That's all they want to say. No, there's more to it. They want to make it a no borders anywhere so that everybody, I think they want to mix everybody so much that if they could, they would put us all in different countries because we couldn't communicate to each other, right? They want it so it's hard to communicate, hard to build real relationships, hard to have a meaningful life with people you don't know. And now there's these people that are foreign, and then you must be scared of them. Like, that's what Fox is really good at, scaring you from people. Oh, man, these people are coming from Honduras. These people are coming from Haiti. They're coming from, they're scaring you that not only they're going to take your jobs, but they're going to rape everybody. That's intentional. They want you to be so scared of these other human beings because then you dehumanize each other. And if you start doing that to them, they know you could do it to your neighbor. And they proved it through 2020 by getting people not to go to their churches, getting people not to go to their corner stores, getting people not going to work and discussing things that they would normally discuss. So now people they pushed them to these sectors. And that's why I thought it was good, because Fox News is just as bad as every single other station.
Yeah, and shout out to Greg Hunter from Watchdog, USA Watchdog there, too. Mm-hmm. He did bring up, in the Hunter Biden laptop emails, that there are emails going out about, hey, man, hook up my kid to go into George Washington. Yeah, these guys aren't good at Fox, man. None of them. I don't really care what anybody says. Again, they can from time to time say some things that align with how we think, but that's the game, right? They got to be that side of it.
Yep.
Because they need to be anti-CNN. That's really all they are. MSNBC, all that, they're just tertiary. Like, they're there. They're not that big compared to, those are the two biggest ones, and they represent the R's and D's, and yep, that's what they are. So I did like this entire interview, between Greg Hunter and Alex Newman, because they really broke down some really interesting stuff when it comes to what's going on in the World Economic Forum, you know, the new Ten Commandments. And like I said, I really like that they were really going at Fox, because, you know, Alex Newman used to work for Fox. So he left.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people are seeing, that, man, Fox is no better than the rest of them, especially after 2020. I think it really just, like, shook a lot of people. Like, wait a minute, because when all that stuff went down overnight with J- Joe Biden, and everybody woke up the next morning and it was just this giant swing of votes and everything. But Fox was basically acting like everything was okay. And I think that's when a lot of people were like, wait a minute. Like, so Fox is on board with this narrative too. This doesn't feel right. And again, I'm not here to say that Trump is awesome. And we rail on Trump all the time. I think all elections are rigged, even the one that he got in on. But this was was obviously rigged to the point that the average person knew it. And I think they wanted you to know that. I think it was there was a purpose in you knowing it was rigged. It was a purpose in all the Dominion stuff that came out to show how easily it is to go in and change the votes. What was the show with Kevin Spacey where he was the president?
House of Cards.
Do you know that was in the House of Cards where they talked about the voting machines and how they needed to pay off such and such? I think it's when she ended up being president after he died, and they came to her about this whole proposition on how that they could push this whole thing. And again, they're going to show you in media what they're doing in real life. And yeah, it was obviously rigged. I mean, it was probably the most obvious rigging job that we've ever seen, but there was a purpose in that. There was a purpose. They shut down all the voting. They booted it back up 2-3 hours later. Then all of a sudden, there's a massive swing of votes. There's a reason that they want to shift people a certain way. There's a reason they want you not to like Joe Biden. There's a reason why they want him and Kamala in office performing so horribly. It's not because they're actively doing it on purpose. It's they want them to do it. I think when people start realizing the deeper layer to it, then you can really start getting in line with what you need to do as a person to prepare yourself or to prepare others.
And it's not just the major leaders, you know, it's not just your presidents, your kings, or your senators and your congresswomen. They even have a C40 World Mayor Summit, which happened in October of 2022. And it was this in Brazil. And it was the same thing. Like, with some of their initiatives was a fair and inclusive pandemic recovery. When they use those words, fair and inclusive, what does that mean? Right. Like, they're talking about like, hey, like, we need to give more money over here. And they're talking about they're doing this well-being cities where they have artists get together and collaborate and make like murals and of sustainability and going green and treating and equality and all these words, these buzzwords they like to use, which we know what that means. It doesn't mean when you hear equality, like you think like, oh, well, that's probably a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like they want us all. No, they want us all to be on the same level. They don't tell you what the level is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, we'll be on equal footing, but it's going to be shitty footing. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to be the ones at the bottom of the totem pole. And that is the part that people are really not understanding. And yes, there is things that contribute to that, and they play into that. That's why they play into the race. That's why they play into the religion. That's why they play into things that already could be a problem to society as human beings, because not all human beings can interact with everybody. They kind of get a little, you know, shook there of what they don't know. When they don't know someone, hey man, they speak a different language. Oh man, they're practicing a different religion that I don't understand. So they now, with the propaganda that's fed to them, they're able to see them as enemies when really they're on the same team, but they don't want that. And they're going to constantly have this conflict. And that's why they bring people in, taking our jobs. A lot of times, you know, people talk about like, oh, you know, a lot of people come from the southern borders and they take all our labor jobs. But that's not really the issue. Like, you know, yeah, there's people taking labor jobs, working in fields. Well, ones they're not telling you about is the ones they're getting from India and the people they're getting from, like, you know, Pakistan, and they're taking doctor jobs, they're taking telemarketing jobs, like jobs that are a little bit more well paying, but they pay them even less. So they don't either go, hey, well, we'll get this guy to replace five guys. You know, that's why they started with all the telemarketing in India and other places, outsourcing. They outsource so they can pay you less. They don't like to talk about that part. They try to focus, and that's what I think Fox's propaganda is for. They're always like, oh, you know, they took our jobs. Like that kind of like aspect of where, you know, they're not necessarily taking your warehouse job, which is happening too. But the real thing is that your warehouse is being shipped to Mexico or to China or to India. You know what I'm saying? Which is even worse. It's not even as far as, oh, they're coming over the border and they're taking your job. No, they're exporting your job to another country.
Right.
They're just making you mad at seeing this person as an enemy. Oh, they're coming over the border. There's not enough water. And again, I think they also use that as to make people of scarcity, right? They think there's not enough water. There's not enough food. There's not enough land. And that reinforces that when you see more people and not realizing that we're clustered in cities. There's more than enough land just in the United States of America, not to mention the whole world. And let's not even talk about what's behind the Antarctica, all that land. You know what I'm saying? All that free land. Trying to get
hey,
there.
Hey, flat earthers think there's more than that. It's infinity. It goes to infinity. There's plenty of land out there. It's just like infinity land. We can have our own country, each one of us, individually.
I do think our flat earth friends will be happy with our next episode after this.
They
one.
Will. Like, they'll right, they'll leave us all alone. Right. They'll leave us alone after the next
yeah,
one.
They'll be like, you guys, they're all right. They're all right.
Now, to your point, though, man, about them taking our jobs. You know, I always think about the stand-up Dave Chappelle did, man, where he was talking about how, you know, everybody's bad at like you know, especially south of the border, immigrants coming here, and they're taking all our jobs. He's like, what black or white person is going to be out there picking produce and cutting lawns? Like, they're not. Like, we're not doing that shit, man. And matter of fact, like, all these other jobs that you mentioned, too, a lot of like, just people that are born in America aren't doing the shit, man. They don't want to do it. Like, look how lazy people are, man. Look, there are so many job opportunities right now because people, especially after the pandemic, don't want to work. Like, nobody wants to work. They want free money, man. That, you know what I mean? And again, I think, you know, all the free money they were giving us during the pandemic was really just a tester to see, okay, how much could we give each person a month that they could survive on and they'll be happy with and they'll just do whatever we tell them to do. They're moving towards that, man. Eventually, it's moving to a system of free money. And yeah, they're going to have worker bees, obviously. But when a lot of shit becomes automated, which they're moving towards that too, where in factories you don't need actual people, you might need 4 or 5 just to make sure that the AIs are doing their job. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's all definitely moving that way. I mean, Klaus Schwab talks about it in The Great Reset, which we rail on the Great Reset all the time on here. But I would encourage people to actually go read what he wrote. He wrote this in 2020. And I read it back in late 2020. And he does talk about that. He talks about the fourth industrial age. That's what he says we're moving into. Yep. It's this fourth industrial age. And this is where you start getting into this Christian economic forum. Because this fourth industrial age needs what they call the third leg. They need this third leg. Because the third leg is it's a three-leg partnership between government, business, and religion. The government business, they already got, right? They've got those two sectors. Religion's important because with religion, then they can really control all of us and tell us what to do. And it's fascinating how Klaus Schwab believes that religion is integral. Saying, I don't know what I'm saying, right? Integral. Yeah. Losing my mind. Yeah. Integral in moving this fourth industrial age into what they need, because what they don't want is disruptive innovation. And basically, disruptive innovation is when, like, a smaller company, like, say you and I started a smaller company, right? And we basically were like, look, we're going to target segments of the market that are neglected by the bigger companies. So we're going to say, hey, we'll do what you do. We're not going to do it as big, but we're going to hit the areas that you can't hit. He wants to stop that. And he thinks that this Christian Economic Forum will be able to target those zones that they can't target. Because if they can get everybody on board, okay, so religion can do that, right? So say you've got a guy that runs a small business, but he's targeting an area that they can't touch. Well, he's at this church. He gives money to this church. He believes this pastor. This pastor, though, is part of this Christian Economic Forum. He could convince him to either sell out, get a buyout, or do what they're asking him to do. So where in essence, he becomes corporatized. So that's what they're trying to do with this world religion, and they're going to use Christianity as a means to pull that off, because it's, again, it's easier to take something, like you said, that's already there and twist it. And since Christianity's been twisted for hundreds of years, I mean, how hard is it going to be to twist it a little more?
Yeah, and it's the influence impact, right? Because they know when they say religion, too, they're talking about Christianity, they're talking about all the religions, but they're also talking about these political religions like climate change religion and then the wokety-woke religion, you know, where people are buying into a million genders and, like, you know, you get to choose it at some point and it can change at any minute of the day or whichever the way the wind's whipping, you know? You can be whatever you want. And I think they're using that because it's influence. Influence is something they know because these think tanks study us as human beings and they see our patterns, right?
Right.
Now, they're not going to be able to figure out all of us, but they can see dominant patterns that happen with most people. If you go into a bar, you know that people are getting intoxicated. Hey, you're like, hey, there might be a fight in there. It's pretty easy to conclude that because you have enough experience that you've been into enough bars and you know that people get angry.
Right.
And when they start drinking, something's going to happen or words get miscued or people can't understand each other. That's the same thing they do with us. And they study us, not just our data, and make it so much easier on social media. They see people's trends. That's why if you notice, the more social media has been around, you see a lot of more people that are down, right? Like they're depressed. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying people have never been depressed before. And actually, I want to give a shout out to the homie, man. Like, rest in peace. One of the homies, he took his life, like, the other day, like, right before New Year's.
Wow.
You know? Like, he was a good listener of the show, man. Like, we found out. He was a good friend of the family, listened to the show for a long time. But that's because I think they've tried to isolate people. And I think he got into that point of where he felt isolated. And obviously, we don't know, like, inside of his brain. But just knowing that they do that intentionally to really... mess with your mind so you feel isolated. That's why I think it's important for us to always say on the show, like, dude, well, you're not alone, man. We're all here. It seems like it. And if you do feel alone, I do think that one of the best things, and it sounds sometimes like corny or doesn't work. It works for me. And I used to think it didn't work, but really just like finding a quiet place and just really praying hard, man.
Yeah.
Just like really like trying to focus on God and try to figure out like, hey man, am I doing the right thing? Should I go this way? And if you are aware enough, you'll find the answer. I believe. Like, I've seen it. Like, I've prayed and then, like, watched a movie, like, an hour later. And I swear, like, all these scenes are talking to me. Like, I'm like, and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because it's clicking, right?
Right.
It's a way that he's finding a way to communicate to me. He's like, hey, man, well, obviously he's going to use some kind of communication that's good for me. Like, he's not going to, the same thing is not going to be for you because, you know, he knows how your mind works, how our mind works. But I think that's what the point is. That's what 2020 was. They really cut us off from each mm-hmm. other. And that's why they want to use religion, because that's one of the biggest influential things of the entire world, from the existence of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That has always been so important to the connection of the world. And the church has run the state many times. Like the Jesuits, when they ran, you know, they pretty much ran the show for a while. And they're using that. I think they're using that similar tactic, but now they're modernizing it. And they're going to wrap it up in this world economic Christian form, because that's what it is. You know what I mean? It has its own name. It's not like we're making this up.
It's called the Christian economic form. It literally is called that. And people don't know this, Sean. And I think that's why I really wanted to do this episode, because I want people to understand, you know, where I come from as a Christian. And I have vastly different views on Christianity. Fortunately enough for me, I grew up in the church atmosphere. I got to see the good and bad of it. So I got to see my dad, who is a great man in the church, and I saw how he operated and operates now. And this will actually get us into a big central figure in the Christian Economic Forum and really in the Christian world itself. And this is something that we don't get into in the Christian side of things, because it's very easy to like pick apart Catholics, right? Because I mean, yep. Look, we know all the shit of Catholics, man. That's not hard, yeah. Right? It's not hard to go that route. It's not hard to go some other avenues that are kind of like very easy to pick apart. One of the tough ones is to really get into the Protestant side of it, and specifically like the Baptist side of it, because to me, Baptist and in general Southern Baptist are your Fox News of Christianity. They're more hardline conservative. On the outside, they look like they're a little more in the realm of what you think about when you think about Christians, right? But when you start digging, man, they're just as infiltrated. They're just as evil. And Rick Warren, who a lot of people look up to, you know, mm-hmm. he started Saddleback Church, which is huge, man. Like, Saddleback's, like, just massive, man. And he started that church. It's a mega church. It's associated with the Southern Baptist Convention. Matter of fact, he is, you know, not necessarily runs it, but he kind of runs, like, the Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, which was...
Oh my God, man. That's what everybody reads in jail, man.
The Purpose-Driven Church, man. Everybody reads that book, and everybody loves that book, especially when you're talking about Christianity. Yeah. He wrote that book. What's really crazy is, man, like my dad back in like when he started preaching, which was, I want to say in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, when I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and she's like, yeah, she's like, stuff you guys didn't know about when you grew up because you're too young to understand. She's like, we didn't really affiliate ourselves as much with the some of the things that were going on in the SBC, even though we were outlier affiliates, which, you know, it's similar to us being on Instagram, right? Like, we're Instagram affiliated. Like, we know that there's certain, like, things we do to play within that sphere. But we get you to where we need to get you the content. It's like my dad, like he'll operate in a sphere because it's important to be able to connect to people. And there's good people in these spheres. But as far as being like sold and bought into it, they never were. And my dad actually was not really for that book. It's pretty funny because my dad's read it and there were certain excerpts of it. And he's like, hey, he's not really talking about God there. It's talking about that you can become a god, you're divine. It feeds into this World Economic Forum mentality of transhumanism and how we can become godlike, we can become gods. And that's another reason why, and just side note, I'm going to slide this in on people and another, butt cheeks are going to get tight. But it's another reason why I have a hard time with the Book of Enoch, because it talks about Enoch becomes an angel, Metatron. And it's like, that's never talked about in the Bible. We don't become angels. That's not what we become.
Yeah.
Angels are separate. We're two different things. We're two different entities. Matter of fact, it says when they will judge the angels. So that automatically negates that out right there. However, I do think there's a lot of good things in the Book of Enoch. But that's just another one of my side notes. Evil Enoch wrote it. Get it right.
But she's tight.
But yeah, so like Rick Warren, and I'm glad you know that book too, man, The Purpose-Driven Church. You know that because that's it. He said, we're reading it in jail.
In jail, man. Everybody was reading that. Like, they're like, because you know, you have like everybody, and it's weird because everybody kept trying to get me to read the book. I kind of grazed through it, but I don't know. Instead, I actually picked up the Bible instead, and I was like, I'll just read this. And I feel like what I read from it, it just felt like too, like, it's not up my alley. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt the same way. Like, and I didn't read the whole thing. I just kind of went through it, and it just felt like we're almost like a, not like a self-help book, but like kind of like the new age kind of stuff. It was a more new age for me. Like, it was just seemed like be this and you could like, it's the like almost like a secret book, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So
and, like, that's why I really stuck Job, man. Job was the book in jail that I was like, man, this seems like the best book to read in jail, because it makes you really think like, well, actually, I don't really have it that bad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be out here in like a month or so. And this guy, like, man, he lost his whole family. Like, and it puts in perspective every single thing that's happened in your life where you're like, okay, well, is it getting taken away or is it just kind of seeming like it's taken away?
Right.
Because Satan is trying to, he's trying to come after me through other things, right? That's what we talk about all the time. Like, you know, like the people that are not trying to like down anybody. Or I'm just saying the people that don't have as tough a skin as us, you know, the people that can't, you know, they haven't figured that part out yet. They go after those people in our life because that's the way he's going to try to manipulate us.
Right.
He's going to manipulate us through our loved ones and people that are close to us because they can't. And they, because he knows he can't break us.
Right.
But he can only try to break us through other people.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. And, you know, back to Rick Warren, I mean, he's something else. I'm going to read a couple excerpts from when he was in Davos. And let me just put this out there. He hasn't just been going to Davos, man. He's been going to Davos since 2008. Like, dude, they have been cooking this up, this Christian Economic Forum thing, for a long time. So he's been a part of the master plan. And matter of fact, this is pretty wild right here.
Since the beginning.
Yes, exactly. So when he starts out, because he was doing, you know, this kind of reminds me of the Righteous Gemstones. He's doing this live stream from Davos. And bro, made me think about that too, man. But he says, this is Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life and pastor of Saddleback Church. I'm here at Davos with a lot of my friends, and we're talking about what are the biggest problems on the planet and how we're going to solve them. Right now, I think that there are five that I call global giants: extreme poverty, pandemic diseases, illiteracy, corruption, and the spiritual emptiness. Bro, there are two major things in that he said that really dinged red flags for me. First off, he's at Davos with a lot of his friends. Yeah. Who are your friends at Davos, man? Because I can tell you there's a lot of evil people at Davos that I can tell you don't align with anything in that book that you read called the Bible. Secondly, out of the five global giants, you're talking about pandemic diseases is at the forefront of what you're pushing. So clearly, you and your friends have been talking, and you've got a plan on how to subjugate people that go to church, and specifically Christians.
And they did it in the pandemic with the lockdowns, with letting people go to churches. And like you said, all the pastors and priests that allowed it. Like I understand, like, you can't force people to go to church, but to close your doors, to allow your doors to close, that was crazy to me. That's something I thought I never would see. Like, you know, maybe people don't show up because they're afraid of their for their own. Okay, I get that. But for people to actually close their doors and lock their doors to where a place of worship, which is supposed to be open for everybody.
Right.
At like pretty much whenever. And then now you're like, oh, no, man. There's this like thing going around. Stay home. Don't go be by yourself for a while. That's what I'm saying. They're connecting you because that's the people, even though you have your connection with God anywhere. But people only recognize that church because they've been brainwashed of like, oh, my connection's only if I'm at that church. So they took that away from them. Another thing they were trying to take away from people. And now they're trying to re-implement it where there's people like Warren, where people trust him and think that he has some good work. So they're going to be like, oh, you know what? Well, I have read The Purpose-Driven Life. Like, well, he's never steered me wrong before. Maybe this Davos thing's pretty good.
And it's one of the most famous like Christian books out there, man. People know it. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I said, I'm going to hit a couple more things, man. We'll expound on them. This is pretty crazy, too. He said, these problems are so big, nobody's been able to solve them. The U.S. hasn't solved them. The U.N. hasn't solved them. Nobody solved them. And I think it's because it's going to take a three-pronged strategy to do this. There is a role for the public sector. There's a role for the private sector. And there is a role for the faith sector. So they're already dividing this up into three things. There's that number. Three! So they're already dividing this into a three-pronged attack on how that they can, and I'm going to use the right word here, subjugate us into doing what they ultimately want us to do, because they know more than anything. And if you really want to dig into the Christian Economic Forum, Schwab's got a lot of stuff to say about religion. He is very, very interested in how religion's going to play a part in subjugating us into doing what they want us to do from a global scale.
No, I totally agree, man. And here's a little, like, I'll play a little, this last clip I got of Yuri, you know, the henchman of Klaus Schwab. And this is how they think of us. So when you hear them talk about religion and how it's important, remember, this is how they really think of us as human beings.
The biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. The problem is more boredom. And how, what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless? My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games as a solution for more. It's already happening.
So he goes further and he talks about how the Japanese are ahead of everybody and they have everybody on, you know, doped up. and on pharmaceuticals and on video games and computer games and virtual reality, this VR, which is getting huge. And there's so many SSRIs that people are on out here in America. So they want to dumb you down, drug you up so that you lose your connection. So you lose your spiritual connection to whatever you think that is. Like, I'm not going to sell you on what I think you should think it is, because that's something you got to figure out for yourself. But they want to literally sever that from you.
Yes.
It's almost like taking your soul out of you.
Right, man. And this, and what you just played there, because I can't stand Yuri, man. God, nothing would give me greater joy than to do some things that I wouldn't say on this podcast. But like, that guy's something else, man. Like, I don't even think he's real, man. I think that dude's straight AI. I think he's connected to the mainframe. I think he is the mainframe, honestly. But it does but he does tie into a little bit of this last thing that Rick Warren talks about. And this is, God, this is so interesting about this Christian economic forum, how they want to bring this three-pronged attack together. And I'm going to read this here. So there's a role for the public sector, there's a role for the private sector, and there's a role for the faith sector. Each of them can do something that none of the other three can do. Government has a role to set agenda. Government has a role to set priorities and things like that and move nations. And there are some things that only governments can do. Businesses have a role, which they have. They bring expertise, they bring investments, and they bring all kinds of innovations to the market. So that ties into Yuri when they're talking about innovations. They're talking about, you know, VR control, all that. But then also, houses of worship have things that businesses and governments will never have. In the first place, we have universal distribution. The church was global 200 years before Davos started talking about globalization. So that's the key, man. They're going to use this one world of religion eventually for distribution. Think about it. People will go and do stuff for a church for free. He even talks further in this interview about how that, man, I got volunteers on deck, thousands. We've got thousands. Think about globally, millions of people that will work for free. So that's all you need. That's all you need. You get people hooked up to the VR, get their minds in a certain frame. Before you know it, they're going to church in the VR, right? Yep. And who are you worshiping then? I could probably name off five fallen angel names off the top of my head right now, but I'm just saying, like, in general, this is what they're moving towards, man. And man, I could see it. Just you bring up that clip about Yuri was great, because that even ties further into this Christian economic forum. Because I think they're going to move more to virtual churches eventually too, man. They already tried it out a little bit with the pandemic, with people having to see church on their TV. Well, what about if it's an interactive experience? You know what I mean? What if you can get baptized in the VR? You know, all these things that you can do, but then they've made you also a slave, because if you're so bought into this church and so bought into this man on the pulpit, he's like, hey, I need X amount of people to come down to the church and move these jabs. Move this. I need you to help round up these extremists. Bro, I'm telling you, it's that is the move, man. And I think that the church is going to become just as integral as police, as FBI, as these three letter agencies, maybe even more so.
Well, you just made me think of something too. They're taking away sanctuary. You know, like that old where you're like, hey, I'm going to church, I have sanctuary, they're going to protect me. They're taking that away by doing that. There is no sanctuary. They're trying to take where there's no place left for us to go. That's what I really feel is their move. And that's, they know that people trust their religious leaders. That's why they're headed for them. That's why they're there at all these events. And they know that Christianity is the most predominant religion in the world. They're going to utilize that. They're going to manipulate the teachings. They're going to put it into their little, you know, catalog of like, this is how it's said. This is what Jesus really said. I think they're going to change the Bible completely, which it's been changed over the years. But I'm saying, like, I feel like, and some date in 20, 30 years, even maybe after we're gone, they're going to try their best to Book of Eli it and rewrite the whole Bible. And not just rewrite it, but like you said, it's because they're telling people how to interpret it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, no. When he said this, what he meant was climate change. And no. When he said this, he meant jabs. So then people buy it. They're like, oh, yeah, I guess. You know, there's going to be people in 100 years from now that'll be like, yeah, Jesus was all about the jab, man. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, you can really fool people to thinking that, like, yeah, dude, the mRNA vaccine's been around since, like, AD. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, before, you know, like, it started when Jesus came. He brought the mRNA vaccine. Like, you know, the three wise men, they gave him myrrh, frankincense, and mRNA. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how they manipulate people, though. They change history. It's funny, but it's also scary because you're like, man, I could totally see someone buying into that.
Yes.
That's what's the scary part.
Bro, so much so. And I think that, and that's why I'm a Christian, man. That's why I believe in Jesus the way I do, because they try to twist him so much and they try to turn him into a tool to manipulate people. And that's defiantly against anything he ever taught. And I think that's why I'm so vehement in who I am as a Christian and what I believe in, because I see what they try to do to him. And if anything, and I don't care if you're a Christian or not, but if you read the Bible and you read what Jesus talks about, his teachings can come across in a way that, you know, just love your neighbor, take care of the person down the street, you know, do right by other people. Those things are tenets that you can believe in regardless. So when you see it in that light, you're like, yeah, man, Jesus is a good dude. And I see why they try so hard to twist what he does, man, all the time.
No, I understand what you mean by that, because I think, like what we said earlier in the podcast, like, it is true. They take stuff that is good. They take stuff that is in our psyche already, that is already part of our world. So that way we're easier to manipulate, right? They're going to use something that we already know. They're not going to just come up out of the blue with something new, because it's going to throw us off, because they already know human nature. So they're going off. Every religion knows about Jesus. They talk about Jesus in every religion.
Yeah.
Pretty much talks about Jesus in some sense or form. And the teachings, bare minimum, they're at least saying, hey, they're a good teaching.
Right.
They almost all recognize him as a prophet. So it's not like he's recognized worldwide as an outstanding human being. And then also the Son of God. Now, everybody doesn't think that. But I'm saying, even the people that don't think that, they don't think of him as like, oh, man, he wasn't really a good dude. Like, you know, there's no
right.
Like, you know how like they talk about Lincoln and they're like, oh, you thought Lincoln was good? Here's the real truth. There's no there is none. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's through time. So obviously that's why, is because they want to go after something that's pure to taint it, because they already know that we recognize that as pure.
Right.
So that's the only way they could do it. That's why it's starting to make me believe more and more that the Antichrist would be an AI, some transhumanism AI thing. Like, I just feel like that's the vessel that they're going to use, because it's going to be something that we can understand.
I feel you, and I'm open to that idea. I still think he's going to be a Nephilim. I think he's going to be very human-like. And
he's a Nephilim cyborg!
Could be, man. Like, I'm very open for all the possibilities on what the Antichrist could be, because I don't think it's going to be what we think. As far as like just a man, I don't think it's going to be that. If it is, I'll be shocked. He'll still be a vessel. You know, the ultimate, you know, the Antichrist is going to be a vessel for Satan himself, the Avatar. So really, you know, the vessel is just the vessel. It's really Satan. You know what I mean? He has to mimic what Christ did, what God did through Christ, right? Made God flesh. So he's got to mimic it on some scale, because everything they do is a mimicked version of what Christ does. It's really like, when we talked to Vicky, when she came on the podcast and she was talking about how the abductions where, you know, it talks about Christ being the bridegroom, and in those days the bridegroom crossed the threshold and it was invited. So that's that, you know, you invite Jesus into your heart. Well, it's the same thing with these entities, man. They got to cross that threshold. You invite them through the threshold. They're mimicking being the bridegroom, so or the bride. So it's very interesting, the correlation between the sides. And that's why, you know, I believe how I believe, because I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I think that's the biggest disparity between, I'm talking real Christianity, and I'm talking about following the teachings of Christ and other religions that denounce that godhood that he is. And I think that's where I'm not saying these are bad people that believe these religions. I'm not saying that they're going to hell necessarily either. I'm just saying that I believe that Christ is the Son of God. And I think they try so hard to make him not that. And just this podcast we did today, man, just seeing how that the church has been infiltrated so much into, hey, let's create these new Ten Commandments. Let's talk about how you can become a God, how you can save yourself. It's the Nimrod mentality of Nimrod back in the day, building the Tower of Babel, the portaling system to try to get to heaven so they could become gods and overthrow God. That's the whole point. We're doing it again. Doing it again, Sean. We're trying to bring the Nephilim in again. Portal babies. It's going to it. We know what's happening. I see it. And nobody else is seeing it.
No, I totally agree, man. And on that note, man, I think, we're going to wrap it up, man. I think that you should look into it, Christian World Economic Forum. It's a real thing. You should definitely look into it. We'll post some of the links on Telegram. Got to get that going. I got it lost on my phone, so I got to get it back going. But I'm going to get that back on that so you can hop on there, Kill the Mockingbirds Telegram. Again, you know, subscribe. Instagram, Kill the Mockingbirds Podcast. Help us build our website. You know what I mean? $4.99 a month. We got to use them to get where we need to go. So, plus, you're going to get awesome content, man. Like, Joel's got some great ones cooked up, man. I get the luxury of seeing them beforehand. So, you know, if you want to be beforehand like me, I'm even a subscriber. You know what I mean? So, you should subscribe so you could see all the great stuff. Kill the Mockingbirds Podcast, breaking down different reels every Tuesday, Thursday, 8:30 p.m., hop on Instagram Live. We'll be there breaking down some of the podcast stuff we're talking about. We're breaking down some of the reels we have. And don't forget to go to Joel Thomas, Sean Chris on all music platforms, and Van Tesla Music on Instagram, and Sean Chris Music on Instagram. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Why not? We've been getting a lot, man. Appreciate that, man. They've been getting the stars up. I mean, they're not all fives. It's all right. It's all right. They're not all fives. I would like all fives, but it's all right. I mean, can't be for everybody.
Yeah, and we love the comments. So you guys are doing great on Apple. Please leave us comments. Give us 5 stars on Spotify, too, if that's where you listen to. The comments are great. We always laugh, especially when they're positive and they're funny. So, you know, I think the last one was talking about butt cheeks tight. So, you know, we love that. Yeah. We love that stuff. Little shout out to my girl, Jen Psaki. KJP's really been screwing the pooch lately. We need you back, baby. And you know I'm going to send you 10 texts when I get off here just now so you can, you know, get back in office. And, you know, I'm going to be your boo thing on your side. You know, ginger power. And eventually, you know, we'll be the first, you know, female president with me being the first man, which I'm all about. I don't mind being second to her, baby. That's how we roll. Also, Sean and I both just put out new music. Surprise! New Year's Day, we dropped some shit. I actually dropped it and didn't even tell Sean I was dropping new music. I didn't tell nobody. I just dropped new music. Sean dropped Bobby Bonilla, It's Flames. He's talking Cash Money. I got the new EP, Grants Begriff. I want to make you guys go look that up and understand what that means. I've got Plato's Cave on there and Flowers. So you guys check that out. We're dropping hot music the rest of the year, and he and I got some good stuff cooking up together too.
Yeah, and I just want to give one shout out, you know, rest in paradise to the homie Noah Kalama, U.S. veteran. You know, hey, times get tough. Let's give him a shout out. I know he's listening from above, and let's go out with one of his favorite songs. This is one of his favorite songs that I did that he liked. It's called "They Want Your Freedom." You know how we do it: wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Brat, brat, bird killers.
Despite of all the lies and propaganda, we stand united, we stand strong, the beacon of light and hope and freedom for the entire world.
They want your freedom, don't let them take it away. Living on your feet, you'll never die in a chase. They want your freedom, they want your freedom. They want your freedom, don't let them take it away. Living on your feet, you'll never die in a chains. They want your freedom, they want your freedom. I fear no evil, the power's with the people. No Democrats, Republicans, they puppets on strings. Locked and loaded, fuck a convoys, freedom convoys. Hold the line, boys, rat-tat-tat, motherfucker reload. The
definition of hypocritical contradictions. It's politicians sparking the flames of division. Our leaders try to tax you to death, trap you in debt, drowning in propaganda, gasping for breath. Censorship, totalitarian technocrats. They checking facts, clapping back, acrobatic aristocrats. They want you to own nothing and be happy, or get suicided like Jeffrey Epstein and Isaac Cappy.
They want your freedom, don't let them take you away. Living on your feet, you'll never die in their chains. They want your freedom. They want your freedom. They want your freedom. Don't let them take it away. Living on your feet, you'll never die in their chains. They want your freedom. They want your freedom.